The Night Owl Podcast, Episode 45, The Haunted Williamson Museum, Part 2. Welcome to The Night Owl Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Ballou, and this is a place for all you restless spirits out there to tune in and hear true tales of the paranormal. I hunt these stories down, capture them from the mouths of those who've experienced them, and share them with you, right here. We're currently looking for more personal ghost stories or haunted locations, so if you or someone you know has one, please submit it to us for consideration. Go to thenightowlpodcast.com, click on the Submit Your Story page, and let us hear your ghost story. Multiple reported sightings of a woman in white, electronics going off in unusual ways, disembodied voices throughout the entire building, feelings of being watched, sounds of furniture moving or being displaced, displays and objects falling or being moved far from their original locations. These are just a few of the strange occurrences reported at the Williamson Museum, located in the historic downtown square of Georgetown, Texas. After gathering testimony from all the staff and volunteers who came forward with their experiences, my team and I will now venture to the museum to investigate the claims in person and see what dots we may be able to connect regarding the unusual happenings at the Williamson Museum. Stay tuned. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/nightowl today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/nightowl. And thank you to HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, for sponsoring this episode of the Night Owl Podcast. It's time you take the hassle out of mealtime. Go to HelloFresh.com/50NightOwl and use code 50NightOwl for 50% off plus free shipping. And a final thank you to AG1 for their continued support of this show. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/NightOwl. Hey Night Owls, I need to make a few short announcements. I'll be quick. First, if you haven't heard, we're hosting a haunted evening at the Tavern on Halloween night. Tickets have almost sold out, or they may have by the time this airs, but I might open up a few more if the need presents itself. Visit our website, thenightowlpodcast.com, and check out our Ghost Tours tab to get details. But if you can't make this Halloween event at the Tavern, don't worry, we're going to be hosting a haunted evening at the Clay Pit. Yes, another amazing haunted venue from our show, on November 26th. I'll be announcing ticket sales for this first to our supporting patrons on Patreon, and they will have early 24-hour access before I open up any remaining tickets to the public. Sometimes these sell out just on Patreon, so not sure if by the time this airs if I will have announced the tickets yet, but when the tickets do go on sale to the public, they will be on our website, thenightowlpodcast.com, under the Ghost Tours tab as well. So just keep tabs on that, or if you're hoping to get early access, become a patron for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/thenightowlpodcast. And lastly, I know many of you have heard this through some of the social media posts or through the grapevine, but our beloved Sarah will no longer be participating in Night Owl investigations from this point forward. She wanted to move on to do something she's been wanting to do for a very long time, and we support her decision. It was an incredible journey that you were all a part of these past several years, and I will miss her dearly. When she began her first case with us at Royal Legion Tattoo, she wasn't sure about her abilities and wanted to use an alias and be anonymous. But as the years went by, she became incredibly confident with her gift, and hundreds of listeners did too. So much so that they reached out to me and to her and kept asking for help. Sarah slowly stepped out of the shadows of anonymity and wished to help those who were struggling with their gifts. She began a program called Metaphysical You and is now moving on from the show to focus solely on this. You can learn more and support her there at metaphysicalu.com. That's metaphysical, the letter U, .com. The team and I will miss her incredible gift and her presence on our cases, but as all good things do come to an end, I don't see this as a loss, but more of a shift that has come our way with intention. This is a catalyst for growth and change for the show. The Night Owl has done so much with just Sarah, one gifted person out there. Now it's time to explore more than just Sarah's gift. Moving forward, we have all made the decision to explore and work with a variety of people with various types of psychic abilities to showcase the unique and unexplained world of psychic ability on the many cases that we get to explore. Team member Alexis and I will do what we've always done and give a space for those who might want or need to test their abilities in a safe and professional environment. I'll be opening up an application form for those who might be interested in being considered to join us on these cases, so keep your eyes out for that. When it's ready, I'll announce it and it'll live on our website, thenightowlpodcast.com. So if you or anyone you know might be in need of guidance and a safe place to test and develop a perceived ability, The Night Owl will be accepting applications for those interested very soon. And in this particular episode, you're going to get to hear us investigate with two new gifted individuals. So stay tuned. On the previous episode, we learned from the staff and volunteers that they have experienced so much activity over the years that they seem to know and have even named a majority of the ghosts in this building. Granted, a lot of the names have come by means in which none of the staff are convinced that the names are 100% accurate. Many were derived from dowsing rod communication done by either the paranormal group that visited the building multiple times, EVPs, and in two other unique cases, a medium who came in off the street, and the odd occurrence with Danielle receiving countless phone calls and physical mail addressed to an Emilio at the museum. This in turn led the staff to adopt the name Amelia for the woman in white spirit that many had witnessed. As a reminder, the most impressive physical sighting of this apparition was Danielle, who had seen her not only once, but twice in one late night visit to the museum alone to drop off supplies. However, it would later come to light that one of the paranormal investigators had also seen her, as well as a maintenance man. All three of these witnesses admitted to seeing this woman without knowing each other's experiences, which was more validating than if this woman in white had been talked about and led these people to believe that they'd seen something that they'd heard about. But now we are about to dive into this location for the first time. Before we jump into it, though, I thought you might like a quick refresher of the spirits and a little rundown of the layout of this building and its various spaces. Let me try to do this as best as I can. The Williamson Museum is a very small building and the layout is pretty simple. It's two stories, however, the upstairs is used mostly for staff offices and storage. The bottom floor is where the main exhibit spaces are, as well as the front office and gift shop. It's rectangular in shape and is narrow with a hallway leading to the back. Upon entering, you'll see a reception desk to the right and a small exhibit area right behind it. This is where reports of a woman or two women humming have been heard. Now, if you look to the left, you'll see a small office that used to be the bank president's office. Here is where there have been some reports of a male presence that some believe to be the actual bank president. This is also where movement and furniture scraping from upstairs is heard. And directly above this area is where the upstairs collection is held, but we'll get to that later. If you make your way out of this front office and still stay along the left side of the building, you'll enter the small gift shop. This opens up to a main central room that has an enclosed exhibit to the right. That exhibit, and slightly beyond it, is where many of the staff believe the 6-year-old Zach spirit likes to play. This is where the old pocket watch started ticking, and the MP3 players mysteriously went off on two different occasions with two different staff members. Moving past the exhibit spaces on the right, you'll now enter the hallway that leads to the back. But before you enter this hallway, just to the left, you'll notice the old bank vault entrance. Not much has been reported here aside from an occasional sighting of a disembodied hand or arm near the vault. However, the hallway is where the woman in white, whom the staff now call Amelia, has been spotted by at least three individuals. Danielle, the museum educator, a maintenance man, and one of the paranormal investigators. All three sightings were not influenced by previous stories, which was very intriguing to me. Now, pushing down the hallway, you'll eventually pass the downstairs collection room on your right. It has glass windows and shelves on wheels that you can move with a crank. The only thing reported here has been a male figure caught on devices that the paranormal group used on their investigations. Now let me address something here real quick. I usually am able to get a hold of groups who have done cases at locations I feature. However, I tried to reach out to this group numerous times but have not had any luck hearing back. So I sadly was unable to connect with anyone to corroborate their findings and validate any of these reports. But moving on, further down the hallway, it opens up to a newly added room that has an elevator that takes you up to the second floor. There's also steps that lead to the second floor just to the left before you enter this back room. But this back room is where there's a back door to the alley where Danielle saw the woman in white peering out at her when she was backing out of the alley in her car. If we move upstairs in this elevator on the second floor, there have been several accounts of staff hearing a female voice say hello. They have all named this spirit Faith, and through dowsing rods and spirit box sessions, believe her to be around 13 years old. There have also been other reports of the voice of a male spirit in or outside the elevator area. Not much is known about this presence, though. The elevator opens up at the back end of the upstairs, which is where the staff office spaces are. It is a large open area, but has some nooks and spaces with private office spaces and a kitchen of sorts. This is where Danielle and Nancy, the museum director's, offices are. Phones have gone off all at once, and some people feel that they are not alone in this space sometimes, especially at night. Looking out of this space toward the front of the building, you can see through a window down into the hallway and in the front of the downstairs museum. This is the window in which Danielle had her sighting of the woman in white. Moving out of this space, if you take a right and go up a short flight of stairs to your left, you'll come to a section of the upstairs that runs along the top of the side of the building that has the vault, museum store, and the old bank president's office downstairs. There are two rooms that are used for upstairs collection storage here. The first is a wider square room with shelves encircling the room. Then it opens into a longer, much more narrow space that is lined with only shelves on the left. This space goes all the way to the front of the building, which below is that front office I mentioned. Up here, not much has been reported other than sounds of objects moving or large furniture scraping heard from below. There were EVPs said to have been captured up here by the paranormal group, however. Okay, sorry for that massive flood of information there, but it's a tricky building to describe, and there are so many spirits that the staff believe haunt these various spaces, I felt I needed to give you that layout before we proceeded. But as we move on to dive into our investigation of the building, I do want to say one thing. The Night Owl paranormal team doesn't really use many devices or means of divination to gather evidence on cases. It's just a choice we've made and continue to follow, mostly because we haven't really found a lot of truly validating experiences with it. Instead, working with Sarah and other gifted individuals, not knowing the locations we take them to, has been far more validating. So coming here, I knew it was going to be challenging because the staff already had preconceived notions and beliefs regarding what was haunting their space. And these beliefs were founded upon many practices that we don't base our investigations on. Dowsing rods, EVPs, spirit box sessions, etc. But what I want to do is take the more physical human experiences that they had into account while keeping the readings and stuff derived from equipment or divination stored kind of in a back filing cabinet of our minds for the time being. I want to bring in some psychic mediums, see what they can pick up, and see how it aligns with the experiences that the staff have had outside of equipment and divination tools. If that makes sense. All right, let's dive in. It was the early evening of May 10th, 2023. My core team members, Alexis and Franklin, were with me to explore the Williamson Museum for the very first time. However, we decided to bring a familiar voice with us this time. Our friend Jeffrey, who helped us out on a more recent case that you heard at the Dripping Springs Vision Center, was joining us to see what he could pick up using his abilities today. Jeffrey, as with anyone I bring in with psychic ability, was kept in the dark entirely regarding this case. We gave him the address of the courthouse in downtown Georgetown only, and from there, we met him and walked him over to the museum. He was going to sit outside on the bench for a while I got Franklin and Alexis up to speed with a quick tour through the entire space, led by the friendly staff member, Danielle.
So, here we are in the museum, which was originally the former State Bank building. So this is the original lobby, and then right across from us.
Following this brief tour, we brought Jeffrey inside for the first time to let him absorb the space and see what he could pick up. I just want to disclose one thing here. Just outside the front of the building, there is a historical marker plaque that does state the history of the former bank. So Jeffrey and the team were aware that he was going to know this information, seeing it on the plaque out front just before coming inside. How are you feeling?
I'm just orienting myself right now.
Yeah, take your time. No rush.
I can tell. I know it was a bank, so it was a place of business, but it's noisy. It was lots of traffic, you know. Of course, I also know that from back then, people had to go to the bank. So there was, you know, but paper rustling and ching-ching, you know, those kinds of activity, those kinds of noises, of lots and lots and lots of activity. And then just kind of like a dead spot, like maybe the building sat empty for a while. Like, I don't know if the bank closed or if it just fell out of favor, you know, like a lot of places did. But
I realized that Danielle was not following us, and it's kind of important for the person who knows the history of the building and knows the ghost stories to do this, so that way she could validate things after Jeffrey had gone through the entire space. So I had her join us really quickly, and you'll hear me call her over.
He was saying that he's getting a lot of the noisiness of the bank era, because he knows that about just seeing the plaque out there. But he said that there's also a period of silence, like it had stopped.
Like it was empty.
Like it was empty for a while.
It was just an empty building for a long time. And then, I don't know, maybe, I don't think it was the museum again. It was something else after it was empty. I'm seeing, like right here, again, this is very classic banker, but the big tall guy like this with his hands, you know, his thumbs tucked in his vest, but he's very tall. He's got kind of a belly, like maybe the president of the bank or somebody like that, that kind of a vibe coming off of him. But he's just, he's like 6'2", exceptionally tall, probably, you know, close to 50, but it's almost more like a residual. He's just sort of standing there.
This was intriguing because Jeffrey was pointing to the actual former bank president's office, the front office, that there has been a few incidents that led staff to believe there could be a male presence there. Not much has happened around that spirit, so he's not very prominent or talked about in the ghost stories. But Jeffrey slowly moved to another form of activity he began to pick up in this same area.
Okay, now this is maybe a newer thing. I'm like, something like a table or everything on top of a table being pushed, either falling off or like moved. Like you come in the next morning, it's like all the books on that table are now on the other end of the table, that kind of a thing. So noticeable things being moved. Nothing broken, just, but not like, oh, that's out of place. This is like this whole thing, this whole display would be over here. Like, and it's wood, almost like a table like that, but it's wood that just, or that bench or something, moved. You know, noticeably like a couple of feet.
And you noted that that's more current.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would be surprised if people didn't sometimes hear those echoes of those noises, you know, from all the activity.
So this was another interesting hit. This is the area where a lot of the staff hear from up above what sounds like furniture scraping and dragging across the floor. And Jeffrey was picking up that this was a more current activity that they'd be experiencing.
Whenever I'm in a place like this that's busy, that was a center of activity, like on an old street, I've been places where I could hear hoofs on cobblestones and stuff. It's just sort of residual. It's just sort of there because it happens so much. So, I mean, there's that hubbub of activity, you know, back from when it was a bank, but closer are the things being moved around and stuff. But yeah. I don't necessarily feel like there's a connection between like somebody from the bank that might still be here moving stuff. It's more of those just echoes. Somebody else was here. In the empty time, the empty period, it just, everything just sort of goes gray and black and white, but it feels like maybe there was stuff stored here, big boxes or something big, and I'm not feeling anything like, you know, Mrs. Weatherby flung herself from the balcony, or that dramatic ghost story kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This is fun. I don't know when the bank closed, but I'm going to guess that it was open in the 20s. I'm getting a total images of 20s, 30s. Because I used to be a costumer, so when I see the way people, I'm seeing, well, that's a little 1910s, but I'm seeing, you know, the school heel shoes and the bobbed hair, this like secretaries walking back and forth, lots of paper, all that kind of stuff that you would expect. But then later, the bank was empty. I don't know if it was, now I keep hearing 1950s, something happened in the 1950s. I don't know if the bank was closed by then or still in operation, but I'm getting the, let's just walk around a little bit.
Yeah, take your time.
Yeah, I feel like I'm trying to force something.
Yeah, don't force it. Yeah, just feel what you feel. Go where you're drawing.
Now I'm getting shivery. Like, goosebumping. When we walked through this door.
Okay.
I don't know. These old places that have been so many things and had so much going on in them. are hard to sort through sometimes.
Yeah. And then you picked up on possible movement, mm-hmm. or like things being moved in a drastic way.
Yeah, not like little books falling over all the time, little bitty things like that, but like that big wooden bench right there, like it moved like 3 feet. Like somebody pushed something. I hear that scraping on the floor of something large and wooden like that.
And you're hearing a sound of something moving like that?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a place that you hear that coming from more, or is it just coming to you in your head?
It's just in my head, but the closer we get up to like in this area, like when we walk down those little stairs there is when I started hearing it.
Okay.
It's like the further back you go until you hit that add-on in the back, it gets heavier. Not a whole lot, it's subtle, but again, I'm not getting anything like, you know, some terrible tragedy or murder mystery kind of a thing, like, you know, a lot of times people would expect, but I don't know, I might get something more upstairs. That's really all I'm getting down here right now.
So his first pass of the bottom floor actually went pretty calmly. There wasn't a whole lot that he was picking up on other than the male bank president type spirit he saw in the bank president's office window while he was sitting outside, which was kind of eerie. Then he also picked up on what he thought was furniture moving or big objects being moved drastically or maybe large things falling over. Now, he's accurate in the sounds that's what they hear, and he's in an area where they hear it from above. Jeffrey does not know, obviously, any of the activity. There were a lot of reports of large displays and shelves falling off. He didn't really hit on that, but it might be in reference to that as well. There was also no mention in this first pass of a woman spirit or little children. So I wasn't sure exactly if those were going to be coming through or not to Jeffrey, but before moving upstairs, I had Jeffrey go upstairs alone and I wanted to just touch base with Danielle about what she heard him say so far.
When Jeffrey was talking in that office, it's not that something we've ever had confirmed, but one of the volunteers has had conversations or had feelings about a bank manager before. I mean, and literally right in that office.
Okay, we were making it upstairs and just going to get an update from Jeffrey.
Again, nothing like mass murder dramatic or anything like that. It was, I walked in and I mean, I saw the costumes and all like that, and I was like, I feel like I'm in the theater again. Of course, I have a background in theater, so I felt very familiar. I went, wait a minute, this is a separate place, right? A separate... Then I started getting the young secretary girl again, going, shh, and giggling, like, there's a secret.
Jeffrey hadn't mentioned a young female spirit to me yet. I think he made a mistake, and he had told Alexis, who had visited him upstairs. So I was going to ask for clarity a little bit later. I just want to hear him out at the moment.
Nothing bad, but in the energy in there is very busy. Like, I can tell that young people, old people, like community theater kind of a group, right? That vibe, current. But this in here, the energy, the minute I step on the knee steps, I want to go like this. And I got that sort of, almost like somebody peeking out from behind those shelves to the left back there again. But nothing bad or overly dramatic, just the young, like early 1930s little girl went shh, you know, kind of a thing. So
we were standing in the upstairs back storage hallway. When Jeffrey refers to the more busy, more modern activity, he's pointing to the actual workspace and office room area. But now it was time for me to ask him, who is this woman spirit you're referencing?
I don't remember the woman. You might have told Alexis more about her. I don't think you told me a whole lot about that. Where'd you pick up the woman?
Well, when we were downstairs first, I was like, it was kind of a residual as like, you know, young, like secretary type walking down with a bunch of papers in her hands and, you know, the straight skirt and the spool heels. But then when I came up here, I saw her, you know, she's got short brown hair and a little bob, little short sleeve, like a sweater or top, a straight skirt. Very sweet, very pleasant, nice looking young woman, but she keeps going shh and kind of giggly like, there's a secret.
Just one last question about the female presence. Color's kind of important. Of her clothing, do you get any sense of that?
A dark skirt, light top. She's got like light brown hair.
Okay.
Light brown hair.
So currently Jeffrey was picking up a woman on the bottom floor and followed her up here to the upstairs storage area. However, the description doesn't quite match what the woman in white appears to be to others in the building.
The wooden thing that I heard moved across the floor, that's a male energy, like angry out of like frustration, like, ugh, and just pushing that table or whatever it was. And I don't know what the connection is, but for some reason it came to me when I was up here paying attention to her.
Another very intriguing hit here. This is the room that's right above the downstairs front office. And the room we are standing in now is where people believe most of those dragging sounds come from.
That male presence feeling, do you think this is a different male presence than the bank?
Oh, yeah. That was almost like, it's funny that I saw that cardboard cutout because that's almost the way I see the bank guy. He's just standing there in black and white, but he's really tall. And he's like, I am the face of the bank. Kind of a proud look on his face, but he wasn't moving or anything like okay. that. Just sort of a almost like a residual, I guess. I'm getting lots of residual stuff from this place. Mm-hmm. And it's she's got her secret.
And where did you see her first? Or sense her
first? In the hallway when we were walking to the back part. And I just thought it was just part of the bank, you know, just seeing an image of the bank when it was busy. Because I saw her from behind. She had a bunch of papers. She's walking like this, right? But then I realized when we came up here, I was like, oh, it's the same girl. But I just saw her from the back. So it's almost like I'm like she worked here or something like that.
And she just keeps, there's a secret that she's like sort of.
She's just smiling. Like,
okay.
Just being like that. Quiet. I don't know why she wants to be quiet. And it's like, there's a secret.
This was getting really interesting. Jeffrey just admitted that he saw the woman for the first time downstairs in the hallway. This is where everyone feels and the three sightings have occurred for this woman in white. Although the clothing doesn't seem to match, I'm still very interested in this spirit because of one other clue I discovered while editing part one of this series. I did not really include it because I had no reason to, and it felt a little off because it didn't come from someone that I knew or trusted. While Anne was telling her stories of the museum, she told me a story about a medium who wasn't a part of the museum, but was working downtown Georgetown, decided to pop into the museum one day because she was being called by the spirits there. Listen to this account about this particular incident with this medium and the female spirit that seemingly haunts this building.
Remind me again, how did the name Zach come to be again? Like, how did y'all get that name?
Zach was from a medium that came.
Okay, was it part of that paranormal investigation? Night?
It was not. So actually, it was a person that worked downtown that none of us really would have ever suspected saw these types of things, let alone believed in these types of things, and came in one day and very, very quietly told us, hey, I do see presences and I can speak with them, and here's a few things that are happening here.
So I am really curious, did she mention the woman when she came and told you about those spirits?
She did. She did actually mention the woman. And apparently there is something that Amelia told the medium that the medium was not allowed to relay to us. So after there was that. Some secret.
A secret that the female presence that the staff were calling Amelia told a medium who randomly came through the building one day. It's so weird how Jeffrey was seeing this in the woman spirit he was talking to as well. Her holding her finger up to her lips, being kind of giggly and secretive, saying, I have a secret. I don't know what this means at the moment, but I was going to take some time to regroup and connect with my team. Franklin and Alexis had done some readings, and I wanted to see where this building stood as far as levels of EMF, just because sometimes that can affect both the way people perceive things or how they feel in a space, but also in our research, spirits can sometimes draw energy from high EMF levels coming from electrical outlets, lights, etc. So I wanted to find out what they had uncovered.
I didn't get an update from y'all because y'all walked around, but did y'all pick up on anything or did you notice anything? Any anomalies or anything, Franklin?
Shit ton of EMF.
Really? A lot of EMF?
Yeah, like these lights, jeez. All the wires, they're pumping out like between 50 and 100.
Is it just because of its old wiring or stuff? That hallway,
that hallway in the back, the EMF's really high, especially around the breaker boxes.
In the back?
But like right when you get into that hallway, all the way to that back room, it's just like, high, 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 high,
yeah.
High, you know.
The whole hallway is between 50 and 100.
Like what was the New Braunfels? Well, how high was it over there? So that's like that.
Maxed out. Yeah.
Oof, yeah.
But that's that whole hallway from floor to ceiling.
So there was a high concentrated level of EMF all throughout the hallway going all the way to the back of the building. We don't know exactly if this is something that's going to be relevant for this case, but I did want to point it out here. It is where there have been physical sightings of the apparition of the woman in white. In our theories, we believe sometimes spirits could possibly draw energy from high EMF and produce activity. High levels of it too, like for instance, appearing to the living. These high levels of EMF in the hallway were coming most likely from faulty or old wiring because it was emanating down from the lights. We were going to wrap up the night because this is actually the first time Jeffrey has ever really pushed his abilities to come and do something like this outside of our Dripping Springs Vision Center case. He is at an early stage of possibly developing this gift, so we are going to just take it slow and see what he saw in this first visit. And plan a second visit as well with potentially another psychic in the same position that he currently is in, developing or testing out their abilities. But before we left, I wanted to just sit down and have a final recap with Danielle and have her discuss any validations that she felt Jeffrey made during his pass of the building.
Well, Jeffrey, you were 100% on base about the history of the building, almost exactly. It was a bank building in 1912. It closed in the mid-60s, and it was bought by the county, and they used it as various storage, and all of the descriptions that you said have what people have told me. And then in about the 80s and 90s, there were some offices down here, like ag offices. But then we had lots of like little different subtle things. We often hear heavy furniture dragging. And also in that front office, that is the bank president's office. And we have had a volunteer because we've had paranormal investigations in here before. And we do ghost tours. And there's a volunteer that likes to play with the dowsing rods. And she one time made contact with like a bank manager or bank president. So that was kind of interesting. Also in the hallway, multiple people have kind of seen an apparition of a woman. I just don't know if we just haven't seen her as in detail as you did. Maybe a little bit of a different time era. The spacing of the building, Jeff, I mean, even from that original area where you were stepping in, where you could feel that original, to like what that was built 20 years ago, the office space that where you felt a totally different, a little bit busier kind of presence. So that was really, really interesting.
Is there anything with energy back there in that corner? Is there any correlation to anything in that far upper corner?
There has been previous presence that have hung around some of those things. Like there's a metal survey wheel where other investigators had run into, and we've gotten some EVPs of like being a little mischievous, like do it, run into it again kind of thing. Interesting that you heard a lot of male voices, because that's what a lot of some previous EVPs have been.
So there were a lot of very interesting hits on this first pass. We didn't spend a whole lot of time here because it was Jeffrey's first time here, and we weren't sure how we were going to let him develop his gift on this particular case. Now that he'd gotten these initial thoughts and impressions that were pretty accurate, we were going to go ahead and plan another visit with him, but try to work with another medium who's also developing a gift and see what they pick up as well, without knowing what Jeffrey picked up and without knowing this particular site or its history. Stay tuned, because after this short break from some of this episode's sponsors, we're going to travel back to the Williamson Museum with not only Jeffrey, but a new psychic medium. Stay tuned. This spooky season may not be the same for you listeners, but for this night owl, when this month of October rolls around, I can't seem to find a second to come up for air. And I don't know about you, but when I have a jam-packed schedule, the last thing I want to think about is meal planning, going to the grocery store, and cooking. And sadly, I find myself more often than I'd like opting for takeout, delivery, or settling for a boring old sandwich at home. This is where HelloFresh comes to the rescue for me. It's the number one meal kit in America for a reason. They provide you with everything you need to prepare fast, fresh, healthy, and delicious meals. And everything's delivered right to your doorstep. You also receive easy-to-follow, step-by-step recipes with pre-portioned ingredients and the prep time can be as little as 10 to 15 minutes. And HelloFresh has a great offer. Go to HelloFresh.com/50NightOwl and use code 50NightOwl for 50% off plus free shipping. I recently discovered HelloFresh's new 10-minute lunch meals, and this week I made the sweet and spicy rainbow edamame rice bowl for lunch, and this dish was seriously delicious. Fresh cabbage, carrots, cucumber, and edamame with sesame dressing and spicy sriracha sauce served over a bed of buttery rice and sprinkled with sesame seeds. Man, this was way tastier than that cold ham sandwich, and it actually took me less than 10 minutes to make. So if you want quick, fresh, delicious options like this, and to take the stress out of mealtime and save yourself some time and money, give HelloFresh a try today. Go to HelloFresh.com/50NightOwl and use code 50NightOwl for 50% off plus free shipping. As an adult, let's just say over the age of 30, my body now needs certain things like additional vitamins, supplements, digestive enzymes, and so forth to help me function at my highest level. AG1 is a foundational nutritional supplement that supports your body's universal needs for things like gut optimization, stress management, and even immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition by continuously refining the formula to create a smarter, better way for you to elevate your baseline health. I personally love AG1 because it allows me to get all those needed vitamins, minerals, prebiotics, probiotics, enzymes, antioxidants, all the things my body needs to be a better me, and all in one easy, convenient nutritional drink. Every scoop of AG1 covers all my nutritional and health needs on a daily basis and has become a huge part of my daily morning routine. One scoop, once a day, every day, makes this night owl a healthier, happier guy. AG1 is the supplement I trust to provide the support my body needs daily. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/nightowl. That's drinkag1.com/nightowl. Check it out. In the short time following our first visit to the museum with Jeffrey, I'd oddly enough been contacted by a wonderful young woman by the name of Lindsay. She'd never heard the show before, but a good friend of hers had told her that she should reach out to me, because she apparently had psychic gifts and was considering possibly using them in a real case scenario, like one of our cases. Thankfully, we were able to learn more about each other, and it seemed like a great fit to bring her to Georgetown for this second visit. It was June 26th, just before 8 p.m., and we had a larger group arriving in the downtown square of Georgetown tonight. My girlfriend Peyton, assistant editor Mikey, Alexis Franklin, and Jeffrey were parking and gathering near the museum at this point. Lindsay and her husband were given the courthouse location and were kept entirely in the dark about the case and the location. However, Lindsay informed me that she had a lot that came to her prior to arriving and before even entering the building tonight. So we stepped aside and documented what she had picked up. What's going on? What did you pick up?
So I've been meditating, or just started meditating, trying to learn more and hone my skills, because I'm kind of like a radio that I don't know always what I'm tuning into or picking up. And so some of what I pick up, I can be very significant, some not, some I could be picking up something from somewhere else. So I'm trying to learn how to like tune in my frequencies. But I have this on my phone, I haven't touched it, so these are things that I had seen this past coming week, but here's the weird one. So I heard the word information and the word, the name either Danielle, but when you said Daniela, I was like...
No, it's Danielle, actually.
Okay, so I had gotten that name. It's on my phone. So I was like Daniel or Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was getting weird stuff, so I have no idea if any of this is related to it, but I was seeing weird things. So I was seeing like an old gramophone or antiques and old things. This one was weird. I have no idea what it means, but I was seeing like... chairs or stools with wheels and things moving. This was a weird one. For some reason, I saw a small sailboat. I don't know what that would mean, but it was like a sailboat. It's very pronounced. Then I saw like a two-story building with light brown brick, and it didn't really have a lot of windows on the upper floor, so it was kind of weird when I saw this building because it's kind of got that light brown color to it. There were a lot of dome lights and things I saw. A weird thing with, I don't know, this is strange, and this may have nothing to do with anything, but I couldn't stop singing old songs, Oh Susanna and Weird Things. And my husband for this past week has been like, why are you singing these songs? And I'm like, I have no clue. But like really old songs, like joyously, that I don't know, I don't sing them. I don't know. So I wrote down Old Susanna, but there was another like time song from that time period that I was singing. So that's like the major things I've gotten so far. And like I've kind of seen what some certain rooms look like. It'll be interesting to see if it looks like that, like this longer room. But I saw a series of these kind of dome lights. I've just been picking up stuff on the space, but the weird part was the name. I had no idea, and I literally saw information in my mind, .. and then it was Danielle or Daniela or something like a Daniel name. So, okay, one more thing I thought of, sorry. I've been seeing a lot of light waves and colors and things. At one point I saw these weird lights that were blinking. I don't know, but it was like waves of light that were blinking. And then I almost saw waves that, not like water, but I don't know how to explain it, but it was waves of light, but they were moving and blinking. Not like, I don't know if you'd say lights going on and off, but it was like this weird waves of light. And I saw that today when I was meditating. And then I asked my spirit guides, which I'm working on connecting with, to kind of give me more guidance. So I don't know what any of that means, but that's what we have so far.
Cool.
Both Alexis and I wanted to run some of this by Danielle and see if we could spot anything that aligned with Lindsay's notes.
Do you have anything in here that is like a sailboat or a boat?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about
dome lights?
Oh, yeah, there they are. And they're in a row.
In a row.
Yeah, she's seeing all that from out there without being in here.
She got your name.
She got your name right away.
Before you even...
So she seems to have some gift. So that was pretty quick.
Yeah, I think she picked up one of those old songs, like Oh Susanna and old-timey songs, old-timey music. Anything like that? Like,
well, we do have I always want to call it a Victrola. It's not a Victrola. It's a
gramophone.
It is, but it's... It's a Sears and Roebuck one. Yeah, it's literally right there. It's it's not from this building, but it's 1917. It's a.
Wow. I didn't even notice that.
I didn't notice that either.
Because she said it, and we were like, "Oh, I didn't see that." But there's literally one right there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She got a lot of hits.
Wow.
Without even being here. Okay.
That's really good.
That's nuts. Okay.
Yeah, and it has records from like 1904 in it. So what it is, it's a. I don't know why I'm blanking on what it's called right now, but it's Sears and Roebuck put it out.
Okay.
And so it was the first, it kind of disrupted the gramophone game because before that only Victrolas could play Victor records and they could only play certain artists, but the Sears and Roebuck ones could play all of the records.
What you couldn't see in this interaction was the shock on Alexis and I's face when this old phonograph was confirmed. It's such a specific, uncommon thing to have, and for Lindsay to say she saw a gramophone-like antique really shocked us, because we'd never even seen it the many times that we passed through the building previously. The other validating thing we discovered was in the main entrance. High up in the ceiling, a row of dome lights stretched from the front to the back of the exhibit area. We never really looked up that high and noticed them before, but they were there. And not to mention, Lindsay got the name Daniel or Danielle, and that was pretty impressive. So quickly, before we got Lindsay in here, I wanted to get an update from Danielle on any more recent activity.
Now, just a quick update before we bring her in.
Still some more of some people heard some humming and some more of the chair moving. The dragging can happen anywhere.
Okay.
But we've heard it a lot here.
A lot here, okay.
We'll hear it upstairs in the workspace too. We'll hear dragging. One of our other educators heard, when she was walking in and out of the elevator, she heard the voice say something, but she could not make that out.
Okay.
Yeah, that just happened last week.
Downstairs or upstairs?
Upstairs.
Upstairs, okay.
Upstairs. So it's either when you're walking in the elevator, out of the elevator, sometimes someone will hear hello, then a couple times we've heard like a male's voice.
Okay, it's been both male and female?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And no one's been able to quite figure out what the male's voice is, but it's more than just a sound. It is something, but... like words.
Okay. So whenever I'm going to bring her in soon, let's not validate anything quite yet. I'll set aside a time for you to be like, okay, let's go through this and like, yes, mm-hmm. this makes sense. We're going to have her come through here and just feel it out. And she'll probably be like, she'll probably point to the things that are, she just told us she saw.
Hi. How are you doing? I'm Lindsay. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Funny enough, I got your name before I came here. So. That's
interesting in itself.
So I told her just to kind of walk through first, and then we're going to give you what she picked up.
Okay.
So we're going to just follow along with this, though, because she might say some stuff you want to hear.
Yep. So these lights, these are what I was seeing in a long row, down a long hall.
Lindsay immediately spotted the dome lights she had previously told us about. Then she quickly spotted something else. Right below our feet, original tiles from the bank had a design in them.
Oh, look, I drew these. Where are they? On the floor. I was drawing this shape, these little shapes, but I was seeing almost like a wheel, and it looked like a wheel, like a ship wheel.
Lindsay flipped open her sketchbook, and she was right. She had sketched out what looked like the shape of a ship's wheel or helm. And when earlier she was referring to seeing a ship or a sailboat in her early meditations, it actually was this image, and this image very closely resembled this particular pattern in the original tiles of the bank. I'll be sure to post pictures of this on our Patreon page once this episode has aired. Now, standing in the main lobby, with the former bank president's office to our left, Lindsay was glancing inside there and studying the space when she brought up a male presence.
Okay, so it's the same guy I was getting out front, so he is in here. I wasn't sure. Brown shorter, kind of slicked hair, big mustache, white shirt, older shirt, which makes sense. It's the kind like, I hate to say Peaky Blinders, but predating even then. He had pants on. It looked like suspenders, but the old kind of suspenders, I have it written down, that were higher in the back. He had like a big mustache too, and he was nodding his head. And then I got that sometimes maybe people might hear that music I was hearing, the Oh Susanna and Weird Old Songs. And it's him sometimes humming or singing, but I don't know if people will hear him singing or just hear kind of a voice, but that was one thing I got from him. He doesn't seem super unfriendly, but either this space or some of the objects in the space he's related to or has some sort of thing with, but something with his stomach. I don't know if he had a lifelong stomach issue or died of some kind of stomach cancer or a wound or something, but his stomach bothers him, so people might pick that up. And it hit me really hard when I was out there for like 5 seconds. I don't know if there's ever trouble here with lights or blinking or electronical things ever malfunctioning, but if there was, I get the sense it's him, and he just does it for fun because he was kind of smiling and I was getting the blinking in my eye.
On top of some of Lindsay's premeditations turning out to be pretty spot on, with her getting the single name of Daniel or Danielle, the dome lights in a row, and then discovering this eerie, similar pattern she'd drawn in her sketchbook from the original bank tile pattern, I was now hearing her describe something very similar to what Jeffrey had picked up on his first visit. A male presence from an older time in the former bank president's office. It was also interesting to note that this male spirit may be responsible for electronics and lights malfunctioning in the building, and that Lindsay was getting the impression that he was a bit of a prankster when it comes to these type of things. Now, I know the staff here attribute those things to the 6-year-old Zach, but again, I'm keeping in mind that the spirit's name, age, and info came from paranormal investigators and outside guests with abilities. But there was another huge validation that Lindsay was about to get for herself as she made it into this front office for the first time. This is where the phonograph was, that she actually saw in her meditations as a gramophone, perhaps. I was hoping that she'd notice it, and she did, without any prompting.
I saw this. Oh, I just got the chills everywhere.
Yep, we saw it when we came in. We never saw this when we came, so this was pretty shocking.
Head to toe. And that guy I'm talking about loves this. I don't necessarily know that it was his, but if it was his, he loves it. And if not, he just loves this. And so I was hearing Oh Susanna. I wish I could think of the other song, and I could not stop singing it. But it was old songs, and they were playing constantly. And they were just these really old songs. So I wouldn't be surprised if, again, yeah, like old songs like that, like, yes. Like
these are from 1904.
1904, yeah. 100%. I don't walk around singing Oh Susanna in my life ever, like as a grown-up. It's not like I heard it anywhere either. And I'm trying to think of another song. But yeah, this guy is definitely attached. I have full chills everywhere. Again, not a bad guy, but certainly, like, I wouldn't be surprised.
And maybe the electrical stuff, too, has something to do with him wanting to hear this and him trying to get people's attention, but I don't know.
Quick question.
Yeah.
The guy, as far as presence in this building, are you feeling him strong here? Is it like when you walked in?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I initially saw him looking at me as if this door didn't exist. I don't know how to explain it. As if the door didn't exist. And he was kind of just like standing there smiling at me. So I was like, okay, I'm not afraid of this guy. And he, when I felt the stomach pain, kind of did one of these, like, yeah, that's my stomach. And I was like, okay. And then he was kind of telling me to come in. And I heard the Oh, Susanna. And I saw him. I had to sit down to see him. But when I'm near this, I mean, I can feel it. I can feel it. Yeah, he's in here for sure.
Cool.
Again, I don't think he's a bad guy. Cool hair, though. Kind of, I don't want to say Wyatt Earp, but back then, that kind of hair. Like, slick. That style. That slick kind of to the side.
Big mustache, you said?
Yeah, and he had, and his mustache would be how you imagine it from that time period. Not like the cool old curled up time, but they're kind of hanging down gruff over the lip, if that makes sense. Okay. Name, I get an H, but I don't know if that's Henry or Harry, maybe, but I don't know if that's relevant or if that's something else I'm picking up, but just to toss it out there.
Okay. Let's keep making our way through here. Good pickups there.
Next up, we were passing through the hallway, and I was anxious to see what Lindsay would pick up here.
I'm picking up a lady, blonde hair, bun, probably early 1900s, maybe. Blonde lady, smiling, nice. So interesting. Yeah, and I'm also hearing footsteps, but I don't know if the people would hear them. But if they did, like, it would be a subtle tap. Not loud, but, like, tapping. And it's, like, her old shoes. This woman's old shoes. And she has a blue and white striped dress.
Do you have an age for that spirit?
That spirit? She's got to be, like, you know, like, I always have trouble because she looks to me like someone that would be in their 40s nowadays. But she was probably, like, in her 30s. Really cheery disposition, though. Really nice. But I do hear like it must be her feet or her shoes kind of just like walking around very quietly. I don't think you'd hear stomping. If you did, it would be the mustache guy. But if you did hear her, it'd be very quiet tapping. And maybe people are like, what is that sound? And it's not a finger tap. I get that it's kind of her little feet kind of shuffling around this area. Okay.
Things were progressively getting interesting. Although different in some details, what was fascinating to me at this moment was how the two entities that Jeffrey picked up on his first visit downstairs and in the locations he picked them up in, they're similar to Lindsay's first readings downstairs. The man in the front office area and now the most commonly reported spirit, a woman in the hallway, was just discovered by Lindsay as well. We ended up pushing our way down the hallway closer to the back room with the elevator.
Again, I'm kind of hearing nothing loud. Whispering or talking or some sort of noises, and I don't think unless you were quiet you might hear them, but I'm seeing that lady again with the blue dress and that kind of bun up, the hair up. She might walk down here sometimes too, but she's like very cautious of people, you know, like doesn't want to get in their way or walk through them. So again, you might hear tapping or the sound of her feet or her shoes or whatever she has on under that blue and white striped dress, but.
And then the whispering you're hearing, is it coming from any direction?
She said she would just talk to people. I just heard this woman say she says stuff to people, like when they're moving, and it would be like kind of in your ear or near your ear. You know, like if you were walking, you're like, who just said that? And it's her, and she, again, very polite, sweet voice, quite pretty. And she's nodding her head, so if people do hear her, I would suspect that maybe you might luck out and get, like, what was that in my ear, but I don't know.
Okay.
The voices Lindsay brought up were interesting, because the staff on occasion do hear voices near the elevator, both male and female. They attributed the voice to a 13-year-old girl they named Faith. Again, this information came through dowsing rod sessions, I believe, so I try to keep an open mind when it comes to that. It's not for certain, but with what Lindsay is picking up from this female presence down in the hallway, it could potentially point to her being the source behind this female hello that staff hear on occasion.
Yeah, it's pretty short. This is just the end back here. You can come check out. And then we're going to go upstairs right there.
There's stairs. I knew it. Okay, great.
We finally made it to the back room with the elevator, but Lindsay was not picking up much here, much like Jeffrey didn't. But Lindsay was feeling a strong pull to go upstairs. After this short sponsor break, we'll see where Lindsay's readings take us, discover another spirit hiding upstairs, and conduct an experiment to try to gain more answers for this museum and its staff. Stay tuned. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp Therapy Online. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/nightowl. Life sometimes can present us with challenging situations. Sometimes we have to make a choice, and we may often opt for the one that feels easier for us at the time. We don't always choose the path that could lead to a place of discomfort, naturally. But some of these times, that discomfort has to do with unresolved trauma, conflicts, or anxieties that we have. And instead of making wiser choices, we may try to rationalize or make up good reasons for making the poorer choice. The bottom line is, our brain can sometimes be the thing getting in our own way of making good decisions or holding us back from going after something that we really want or need. Therapy can help you figure out what's holding you back and get your brain working for you, not against you. A good therapist can provide you with positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and above all, can empower you to be the best version of yourself that you can be. Therapy at BetterHelp is entirely online and designed to be convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. Simply fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. What's great about BetterHelp is that it's flexible and allows you to change therapists when you need to, allowing you to find the right fit. And that's so important in this arena. BetterHelp Therapy Online can help you cope with all of life's struggles, whether it be unwanted stress, depression, relationship issues, or anything else that gets in the way of you being the best version of you. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/nightowl today and get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/nightowl. Okay, we'll make our way upstairs now. Rooms over here, it's like they're, I guess this is, what do you call it?
It's our workspace.
It's a workspace, and then there's like storage over here.
Collections and storage.
Yep. And even seeing these dresses and bonnets and things, just like that lady I was seeing. These are her things. I just got chills everywhere. Like, not her things, but she loves them, you know? Like, she loves these things. And I wouldn't be, I'm getting the chills so bad. I wouldn't be surprised if people do not feel alone up here at all. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons why and all these things. She's up here admiring all these things. I don't necessarily pick up the mustache guy, the Susanna guy, but I do pick up her. Oh, and she loves these dresses. Loves them. And this is kind of not quite what she's wearing, but similar to it. Hers is striped, though. It's like a little apron on the front.
Ahead of this landing area that held the costumes was the upstairs storage room and then the long hallway that goes to the upstairs collection storage. But Lindsay instead moved in the newer addition to the upstairs, to the left, the workspace and office area.
If you're up here, you're not going to feel alone. She doesn't want to invade your space, but she is watching you. She might kind of, if you're doing something, sit next to you. Again, she's kind and she's mindful of people's space, and she does make people feel a little like off kilter and nervous. And she gets nervous about like cramping people's space is the best way I could say it, but she wants to be around people. And I don't know particularly why she's here. Like, is there an object in the building? Did she live near here? Is there something she's attached to? But I get the sense, and I do think her name might be Alice. Yeah, I can see her. So you wouldn't feel alone up here. You might feel watched. Some people may take that as negative. I just think if you're unexperienced, that would make sense, but it isn't that. Sometimes I sit next to people. She put her hands in her lap like this, as if to be like, I try to keep my hands to myself. However, they might feel me.
Again, a couple things to note here. Just like with Jeffrey, this female presence from the hallway also came upstairs with Lindsay.
The staff themselves have always felt the woman spirit in the building was the so-called head ghost, which in many cases that we've been on means the strongest presence. And with that, we've come to find that these stronger energies typically have the most reign over the entire building. But Lindsay also got two other interesting things here. One, a possible name, Alice. We all agree, and so do the staff, that Amelia was a bit of a stretch, and they all felt that this presence just seemed to accept it. But for now, it was Alice that Lindsay was picking up. But the last thing to note here is the feeling that Lindsay was picking up about how the staff would feel about this so-called Alice's presence up in the workspace and office areas. It aligned 100% with what the museum director Nancy shared with me on our call. She decided to work late up here one Sunday night and felt that she was not alone. She began to feel so uncomfortable that eventually she had to leave.
And I do get, for some reason, Alice, blonde hair, big smile. Not blue eyes, but brown eyes, maybe. Yeah, she said, say my name, Alice, so I'm gonna go with Alice.
Okay.
We made it to the last area we needed to explore, the two upstairs storage rooms that lead to the front of the building. First was the square storage room, the only real original part of the original bank building upstairs, directly above the vault. In here, Lindsay wasn't picking up anything new, but she did start to get even more from Alice.
She said, I'm sorry if I scare anybody. I heard her say, I'm sorry if I scare anybody, I don't mean to. You might see her sometimes, but I don't know if people have seen her as like a full body apparition. Like out of the corner of your eye, you think you see someone kind of standing and looking at you and you're just like, wait, what did I see that? Or, and she said, I'm sorry for scaring anybody. I don't mean to. And she kind of like has this like worried, like kind of very mannered look on her face. I don't mean to. You're scaring her sometimes as much as she's scaring you, and she's really apologetic about it.
This was another incredible hit in my opinion. We're standing in here with the only staff member who's seen this female spirit clearly, and twice in one night. The incident was a bit spooky for Danielle, especially when she saw her looking out the back glass door as she drove away in her car. So I took it as this could almost be Lindsay picking up an apology from Alice, perhaps directly to Danielle herself. Danielle was listening to this the whole time, and although we weren't validating anything with Lindsay yet, I could see in Danielle's eyes that she was getting a similar read off of this. But now, we made our way to the final unexplored room of the night, the long, narrow upstairs collection storage.
Okay, I'm taking up somebody slightly different. An older gentleman. Let me just... Okay, older gentleman, gray hair, gotta be in his 70s. Not a bad guy, a little bit grumpy. This is his area that he comes to avoid everybody and everything. These entities seem to be semi-aware of each other. He's kind of trying to have his own space. He's not as active as the other two. He just wants to be left alone. Wilfred, but definitely older, and either worked here, owned this building, has some sort of, or something in here is his. But, you know, he's hanging out, and, you know, he's just trying to mind his own business. And I could see people, again, getting a little sketched out in here. Let me see if I can come this way. Yeah, see, like, this. Like, he likes this. He likes all this in order and this. This stuff, not happy about. This stuff, happy about. Likes things in order. So I wouldn't be surprised if you ever hear sounds of, like, not things falling, but things kind of being banged around. Again, or, like, a weird... The sound of shuffling or rustling, like, I get the sense, like, maybe something in here is his. Maybe he's in one of these photos, but, like, for some reason, he likes the order. He likes things organized. He hangs out in here. He does not appreciate anything out of its place, and it makes him frustrated.
This new, older, grumpier male presence Lindsay was picking up, oddly enough, lined up with something Jeffrey picked up on his first visit. Listen again to this.
The wooden thing that I heard moving across the floor, that's a male energy, like angry out of like frustration, like ugh, and just pushing that table or whatever it was.
Two separate mediums picking up a presence none of the staff have ever seen or recognized. However, they have similar reads on him as being frustrated or grumpy, and both Jeffrey and Lindsay mentioned the moving or shuffling of objects or furniture. This was very fascinating to me. Could this older male be the spirit making the noises of objects or furniture moving upstairs? And could he possibly be the male voice they captured on EVPs in this room as well? It was time now to go sit down with Danielle and Lindsay, break down all that occurred tonight, and see if she could possibly make some connections.
Just go ahead and go through it all. I know she said a lot, but there was a lot of things that she was picking up on that I'll also help validate.
Okay.
But of what she said, what is ringing true for you as far as your experiences and all the staff's experiences here?
Well, it is interesting. So we didn't quite know the woman's name. We had been calling her Amelia.
Okay. And she said to tell me, that's why she said not to interrupt you. She said, tell them my name is Alice.
I figured. And she has shown herself to me.
Okay, you've seen her.
Yes. She was closer to what you were describing of a lot, hair bun. Turn of the century, 1900 kind of. Okay.
The only difference is the dress, right? And that's been an inconsistency with him too, because we're trying to narrow her down. But she showed you in what? She showed up to you
in white, in more white.
In a white dress. Yes. That makes sense. I mean, she had a white apron on. I can kind of see her, and she's nodding her head. Yeah, that was her. And
I'm not surprised. Yeah. We've had some other people come in here and tell us that they can see spirits and that they follow us around and stuff. Right. So
yeah, and I get the sense that she's smiling and nodding. And again, she keeps saying, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you," but I think she wants you to know, "Yeah, I am here." Mm-hmm. So yeah, cool. You know, I don't know if you want me to tell. Do you mind seeing her?
No,
does it bother
that's fine.
You? Okay. Yeah. I mean, and I would say if you feel like she's around, talk to her. Mm-hmm. And I think you might see her more, and she might scare certain people less if she knows it's okay. Because mm-hmm. I get the sense that she's around you guys and watching you guys, but she gets nervous. I don't want to bother them, but at the same time, I want to kind of talk to them. So if you feel like she's around, talk to her and say, "Hey, Alice, it's okay." And you know, that rustling and weird sounds you might hear or things you guys might see, it might become less scary, and you might have it happen more in a good way. And I also think in the same regard that if anybody is really bothered, if you let her know, she is completely well-mannered. Mm-hmm. She would absolutely keep her distance. And she's never meant to scare people or show herself, but it happens. Mm-hmm. So
we've heard a lot of the footsteps that you
Alice.
Were,
okay.
yeah. And sometimes up the stairs too.
Makes sense.
Yes.
And what's weird is, okay, so when I'm seeing her and understanding her, it's so crazy. I can't believe. So what I get with Alice is this, when she's trying not to scare anybody, it's almost as if she takes her shoes off. And then sometimes, so she's trying to walk quietly, but people can still hear her sometimes. It's that soft sound. And then sometimes she has her shoes, she'll have her shoes on and she'll be walking. And then if people kind of pause, do I hear that? She'll stop sometimes or kind of scamper off. So you might hear a pause in the walking and then the walking continue. But she actively tries to show me sometimes I don't wear shoes, so I'm not making as much noise. Mm-hmm. She's very well-mannered.
And then as far as the front, the only weird thing, because y'all had never seen anything in the front,
mm-mm.
but what's weird is Jeffrey saw a man in the front exactly the way you were, where you were describing mm-hmm. him, exactly in that same area. He said when he was sitting outside, he was looking at him through the window.
Through the window. He was looking at
so
me
that's
through the
really
window as well.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Office was originally the bank president's office.
So I don't know if it's him, but he said he looked like he had a vest or something.
Yeah,
and said suspenders.
Suspenders, but you could totally see him in that. And almost in the Peaky Blinder time, how they had those things to hold up their sleeves,
cuffs.
Those cuffs, that kind of time mm-hmm. period. And I would look into then if that is the bank man. I think we could maybe sort of figure this guy out a little bit in the sense if you could ever find out that if that bank manager had some sort of stomach cancers or ulcers, because I got hit with a pang randomly. It wasn't if I'm having a stomach issue, I'll feel it for a this was intense for a short burst right here. And that's why I said I don't know if anyone else is ever doing something and oh, that's weird. And then they continue with their day. But he kind of patted his tummy that's me, my stomach. So
was there anything else that was validating? I know there was
the humming up in the front. Yeah, lots of people have heard that. We've had patrons here. We've had staff members here. It just depends on the person, whether they can hear it or not.
The humming is the guy with the mustache, the tummy issues, who loves Oh Susanna and all the old music from that time period, tapping his little foot, the guy with the stomach pain. Humming, you would absolutely hear him without question, for sure. So
the other validation I got was you said shuffling in there
things
moving around. That's the sound that they hear 100% in that space from downstairs. They'll mm-hmm. hear it above them.
They'll hear them. And again, I got that it's this older gentleman, kind of whitish hair, but a happy looking guy, but kind of like my grandfather, stern guy, mm-hmm. likes things organized. He is not happy when that stuff is unorganized, drives him insane, and he's up there just moving things around. Something either in that room or in this building
is connected to him for sure. So he feels like a responsibility and whatever. Yes. And he kind of tries to mind his own space. And again, I think these spirits are kind of aware of each other, but they all do their own thing.
Mm-hmm. The other thing to note is that back area, the furthest back wall, not everything up there, right? It's just that furthest back wall, if you're facing the end of the hallway there, is all the stuff that they cannot, it was left and they can't open it it's for how many years?
Abandoned property. And in Texas, we can't touch, if it's dropped off or something like that, we can't touch it for 15 years.
And so it's got to stay there. So I don't know if that's something he might be tied to.
Okay, that might make even more sense to me then, because he is super fixated on that back section.
Yeah, that's
And that's where he stays, but he's obsessed with things being orderly and tidy. So he's wandering around there, shuffling through stuff, he can't move it. I mean, you hear him, but he can't like lift it up. Yeah. So you hear him frustratedly sometimes being like, oh, it's such a mess. Like, I don't like this. And it's just his very particular nature. But it wouldn't surprise me if something in those boxes is his. He's attached to something or the building. I don't know. But that actually makes more sense because he's so stuck back there. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go anywhere else.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, you haven't seen him anywhere else.
I haven't seen him anywhere else. I didn't see him before I came in the building. I didn't see him downstairs. I didn't see him until we went to go down that hallway and I felt something and I had to sit down. And again, I get the sense when I was in there that he's the kind of guy that he doesn't necessarily want to be seen. I don't get from him. Somebody, if maybe they're really good at seeing things or connected, might pick him up or see him. But he's not going to go out of his way to show himself to you. But he kind of just hangs out with that back corner and is just, like, moving stuff around, trying to organize. And, I mean, if you guys ever feel, like, a bad energy, just clean it up more back there and he'll be a happy camper and you might hear him less. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So, is there anything else that you picked up on that she was getting that I missed that I wanted to validate?
Just some of, like, the electronic stuff. Oh, you know, that's right. Yeah. Flickering sounds. We had we had an exhibit with oral histories once in this hallway, and they would turn, even though they were a cheap MP3 player, so they had a physical button that we would turn off.
Yeah.
But they could still turn it on.
Okay.
So that happened a lot. But yeah, they like to flicker
lights and move.
Lights and move.
And I mostly got, for the most part, Alice really doesn't have much interest in modern things. I don't think she's from so long ago. It doesn't really occur to her. However, I wouldn't be surprised if we tried for EVPs or things. I could probably get her to talk or we could pick her up. But she's not like one to... The guy in with the record player who loves the music and the humming and all of him, he's the one who does all the light stuff. Guy back there, nothing to do with it. That guy for sure. And he's doing it as a gag, by the way.
Right.
Like, I saw him smiling. Like, it wasn't like a bad thing. He's just doing it kind of to like entertain himself or be like, hey. So he's got a bit of a personality, which also makes sense because he greeted me at the door like, I'm here, and he was smiling.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely electrical stuff I would tie to that guy down there with the mustache. Okay. For sure.
Lindsay had so many hits this night, and I wanted to give her a break and check in now on Jeffrey, who had stayed away from us tonight on purpose not to be influenced by Lindsay's readings. He was now in the upstairs collection storage, and I popped back in just to see what he was picking up.
Do you want me to tell you what's happened since
Quick
I got
update,
up here?
Quick update, yeah, what's going on?
The minute we walked in, I knew I needed to come right back to this spot. It was the same, shh, I've got a secret girl, right? Even more mischievous and giggly and sweet and adorable as she was before, but I stopped right here, because she's like right here by these pictures, remember? All these frames. But I stopped here, and I went ahead and drew the pictures real quick.
This
is kind of what I saw, whether it's her or not downstairs, but I was trying to get her smirky little smile and her wide eyes and her hair, how it kind of comes down even with her jawline.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't, is it 30s? Is it 50s? And there's her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the same brunette hair, right?
Okay.
And then she's standing here just like this going, pointing at all these frames. And I know from last time, these are donations. They could be from anywhere.
Yeah.
Right. And I saw this big round frame with the early 1900s woman that has sort of similar features, but then I pulled this one out and I was like, that's her hair.
That's her
this
hair,
okay. Could be her.
Okay, cool.
But this is obviously someone from the late 19-teens, maybe 1920, but, so I asked her, I said, am I seeing you like 10 years later? And she's like, well, it could be me. At least it looks like me. She won't tell me for sure. But that, see the way the hair goes?
And you had drawn that drawing first, right?
And this, yes. This hairdo and the lips and the, this is the, but older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with more expression. She's not being mean, but everything she says is a riddle or something, right? So she's like, there's secrets behind the walls. And I'm like, what does that mean? Then, right here.
One second.
Okay.
Okay, sorry, keep going.
And then the only other thing that happened was I was standing back where Mikey is, and then, like, right here, she was still here, but then the tall bank manager guy I saw, I could make out his vest and everything, he and some other people were, like, six of them standing here, and then they all kind of parted and went like this, like, gesturing me to come back this way. I didn't get anything when I did, but there's something they want us to know, and they don't... For some reason, they can't just out and out tell me or,
we'll spend some time here with asking for sounds, doing things. Maybe we need to do the Estes up here. I don't know.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah.
I had some interference going on with my mic, but that was nothing paranormal. We were setting up equipment to try a little experiment, something called the Estes method. Now, we typically do not use equipment on this show, but Franklin, our team tech guy, has done a lot of research and explained how this method could potentially be a tool to try, especially with psychic mediums on our cases. The Estes method is a paranormal investigation technique pioneered by Carl Pfeiffer, Connor Randall, and Michelle Tate in 2016 in Estes Park, Colorado. Instead of using a spirit box like normal, you use a receiver, a person who is blindfolded and using noise-canceling headphones that is only playing the spirit box through the headphones. The idea is that this person calls out words or phrases that they hear, unaware of what is happening around them visually or audibly. This allows less audience confirmation bias and lets the receiver use their best judgment in deciphering whatever comes through the spirit box. While not a scientifically sound method, it does produce interesting results that can aid in paranormal research. So we decided tonight, in this upstairs storage room, might be a good time to try this.
Okay. So this is a normal radio.
All right.
It's in the AM frequency to hopefully get more white noise because FM is just too crowded. You're just going to hear da 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 da.
Okay.
There's two ways to do this. When I just did it, sitting it on there was almost no sound coming out at all. It was just static. It was like... Okay. If you hold it, you become the antenna. And you're going to get bombarded with voices like I've never heard on AM before.
Okay.
Yeah, I was hearing a lot come through for you when you grabbed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was wild. So, which one?
This is interesting because, like I said, which I've never done this before, but I consider myself, like I said, I'm like a radio. And I'm always just trying to, I pick up frequencies all the time and I'm trying to learn how to tune in. So it's kind of interesting to see here we are with like a radio and I'm going to be a radio.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you're going to blindfold yourself.
Great.
And then... The goal is to not be able to see or hear us because we're going to ask you questions, but we don't want you to be able to hear the questions. We want the spirits to answer the questions by speaking through that.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're going to hear a bunch of garbled noises and voices and sounds. When you hear a word or a phrase that you recognize, you say it.
Yeah. Okay.
And it doesn't have to make sense. It could be whatever's just coming, but just say it out loud so I can document it.
Okay. You got it.
So here is the headphones. All right. Ready? Yep.
Okay, Jeff.
Hi.
Hi, I'm hoping to talk to the young woman who I've connected with both times I've been here. The one with the secrets and the smile and the giggles?
Yes.
What's in the walls? What are the secrets in the walls? Can you give us a clue or tell us anything?
No.
That's her.
The session with Lindsay was interesting. I'm not going to share the entire thing here because we just don't have that kind of time, but we'll summarize it in a moment. And I'll be putting these sessions, including ones with all my other team members, in their entirety on our Patreon page. But a couple things to note was there was a significant difference when Lindsay was the receiver with the headphones on. With my mic, I could hear the sounds of her headphones and I could hear so many more voices come through as opposed to when others on the team did it. Not sure if it was because of her gift, but it was definitely something to take note of. We didn't get a lot of valuable information, sadly, but Lindsay reported that there were a lot more male voices seemingly holding this female voice, who she believed to be Alice, back, and she wasn't able to speak much. The male presence, who was possibly the bank president or employee downstairs, who she's calling Henry, came through and had an interesting exchange regarding the phonograph and music. And while Alexis did his session, I actually could hear the spirit box through the headphones call out the name Alexis and Alice, which was really interesting.
Did you get from any of those sessions, or when you were in there, Lindsay or Jeffrey, did y'all feel like the female was needing something and she's just not getting it across? Or
I got the sense from me that
she wanted to speak up, she wants to talk, but the guys were like, take a back seat, I'm talking. And then obviously I started having kind of like, you didn't hear, but I was having kind of like an argument with the guys for her, on her behalf. And they were being very pushy with her, and it seemed like every time she would try to talk, I could hear her trying to talk, and then they would just talk over her, like nonstop. Almost like we have something so much more important to say than you do.
Exactly.
Like, and then you could almost hear the two guys talking to each other a lot. And then I heard a lot of laughing and snickering, and I almost got the sense like the laughter in a way was almost like laughing at like her trying to talk, or like laughing at just the situation. And she seemed very soft-spoken, very nice. And I got the sense that she really has something she wants to say. I mean, I got so much evidence, or I guess things she wanted me to tell you, particularly to tell other people. And then it was interesting because I feel like that Henry guy started talking, and then he said 34 or the third. And so I feel like we got some pretty solid info on pertaining to him. He talked about the music. Let's go downstairs. Yeah, let's go listen to music.
That was crazy.
Yeah, he wanted to go, let's all go. But it was as if they kept being like, when they were doing like the let's all go with the music thing, they was like, forget about Alice and what she wants. Like, let's just go and like do what we're going to do. And I just felt this sadness with her. Like, I feel like she takes such a back seat, but she's probably the kind of soul in the building. So that's what I was getting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot happening though. Holy smokes. And when we were doing all the experiments in there, you could literally hear over the three prominent voices I heard were the two men and then who I think is Alice. But then you were hearing what you're saying. I could hear groups of people chattering and chattering. Sometimes it was in response to what we were saying, but I felt like even listening, but sometimes I felt like it was almost residual, just people chattering and talking. But then when we get their attention, you could start to hear them kind of battling. So I could pick up on that too easily.
But you could feel it when she was coming through, and then when they went like that.
Mm-hmm. And you would hear her voice get pulled out. And then we really got her to start talking, thank goodness, or at least getting some version of her to come out.
Yeah.
At this time, we decided to have Lindsay show Danielle her sketches of the two prominent spirits, Alice and the man from downstairs, who she believes is named Henry.
The people I'm seeing, so we'll go to Mustache first. He's much older, from a much older time period. He has a very prominent mustache. But this is the guy I saw. He had like old-fashioned suspenders, big mustache, hair parted on the side, slicked over. Time period, you know, he had the kind of those holstery things on, but he was like
the dusters,
the garters, that's what it is. He had like the hair and mustache kind of like I said, like a wide herbish time period. And then this would be, which I'm curious to see your take on, this is who Alice reminds me of, if that's what you saw at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's how she presents herself. And that's how she presents herself. And she, even when I see her, she often holds her hands like this when she walks around. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of got a very sweet, kind disposition. And that's who I kept hearing trying to talk. And they just wouldn't let her. And I feel bad. But what I can say is that Alice is fully aware now that you guys know who she is, her name at least, and that she is okay with being seen or communicated with, and she would probably enjoy hearing how those guys are acting if everyone, when they felt her around, talked to her more. Probably give her more strength. Yeah.
Hearing all that, Jeffrey, what do you think about what you're picking up? Do you think it's different?
What I'm thinking, and I may have said it about this place, or it may have been, I think it was when we were here last time, is because it's been around so long and it's been so many different things. It's layers and layers, and they're kind of bleeding over into each other, because I got the definite tall bank president guy. Mm-hmm. Thing about a building like this too, that's been so many different things and it's been renovated, but so much of the original structure is still here at the same time, is that sometimes, because I start picking up on all the stone tablet stuff immediately, just the noises of the cha-ching and money and paper shuffling and people walking, that's just sort of echoes, you know, that are here. And but then, is that what you're hearing? Are they, then it's hard to tell sometimes if it's just that, or is it an active spirit that's stuck here, you know, kind of thing.
Oh, like residual versus like an actual intelligence.
Yeah, like when I saw the bank guy the first time, he wasn't moving, he was just in there. It was almost like a symbolic kind of a thing, that energy was still there. But this time, it was almost like I was looking back through my crystal ball or through the window, and it was just day-to-day business, but I could hear all that noise. It was really busy. Mm-hmm. Something was going on. that. But
with this female, you saw her today, but it's not...
That's the one I saw the first time I was here. The way I see her, and again, with her hair, that picture that I found in the same hair, the same face, was like late 19-teens, early 1920s. But I'm like, I think that I'm seeing her later when she's older, when I saw the figure walk by in the gourd skirt downstairs, and then when she brought me up here. But it's the same hairstyle. Mm-hmm. Exactly the same hairstyle as I found in that photograph.
It was tough to be able to determine if Jeffrey was actually seeing the same exact female presence as Lindsay, and we don't know for certain if they were the same entity. But as we were wrapping up, I wanted to get Alexis's notes on what the staff might be able to do for their unseen coworkers haunting this space.
I mean, the biggest thing is you got a name, so that's really, really good. So you can call her by name, talk her by her name. You could even, if you wanted to, leave a glass of water for her and just be like, hey, this is for you, Alice. Not y'all, but this is for her, you know, and just kind of make those boundaries too. Like, this is for Alice, this is not for anybody else. But I think the biggest thing, like the what I got when I was under the sounds was just like that they overpower her. And it's almost kind of like, I want to speak. And then they start speaking over each other and then they start fighting in a weird sort of way. And the whole time she's just like, hey, hi, you know, that kind of thing. So I think just giving her a little bit more power would be good. I also kind of get the feelings I got were two things, that they were kind of almost jealous of her because she travels more than they can. That was just something that I felt. Like they kind of are stuck where they're only stuck on that side of the building. Mm-hmm. And she actually gets to come up here and check out all these little spaces and stuff. And then I also felt for some reason that she was tied to the land, not the building.
Yeah. And the other thing I'd say to do for her, for sure, which she, speaking of what you're talking about and being specific, she loves these clothes.
Okay.
Maybe take a dress every now and then off the big hanger and hang it somewhere. Like, I don't know, somewhere where you feel her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether it's in a window or somewhere, and go, Alice, we're putting out a new dress for you to wear tonight. Enjoy it. Wear it around the museum. We'll pick you out a new one next time. And I think she would love that because she loves those clothes.
Okay.
Yeah. Good dress.
And now you've got, like, the possible Henry.
Yes.
That's the one that likes the music.
He loves
right?
the music.
So you can kind of, I don't know if this is good advice, you told me I'm wrong, but it could be used as like leverage. Like if he's not behaving, you could be like, I ain't gonna play any music for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or
his records
so
the,
yeah. So
and
that's
he's strong enough, and not to be joke, he's strong enough, by the way. He is absolutely strong enough because he started talking over everyone else in there when we were asking questions.
Yep.
He is absolutely strong enough that if you guys have activity you don't like, or you want Alice to have a bigger part, or there's negative energy, or you just want things to shift, tell him, listen, if you want to hear your records, I need you to get the other people to calm down in here, because you clearly are one of the bosses of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Calm them down, and I'll put your music on, or help us with this, and we'll put the music on, because he is a very nice, jovial, I mean, he's still a very masculine guy, but he's a great dude. He seems like a very fun dude, and I think that you could ask him for help, and he would easily do it, because he greeted me at the door, like straight up hello. through the door, so, yeah.
Lindsay took some time to tell each of the spirits goodbye and left them with some important things that she wanted to tell them. But before we headed out the doors and bid our farewells, I wanted to take Lindsay to the elevator and just ask if she could spend a little time and try to pick up any type of activity that the staff might experience there.
Last thing before we get where there's noise, did you get anything with the elevators?
I did, but I don't know if it's me picking up on something that I experienced many years ago or not. I got the sense that like the doors just like open or go on their own, or like the light goes on and nobody's really hit the button to go. And that is 100% the mustache Henry guy.
Okay.
Yeah, anything electrical, I get the sense in this building, even though he's from an older time, he's figured it out. He's been here for a while and he likes to play pranks. Interact with people. So for me, the elevator thing was 100% him.
I had forgotten that the doors opening on their own was a common reported experience by the staff. She didn't pick up that they would hear voices in the elevator, but I was so pleased with both Jeffrey and Lindsay's first attempts at this unique haunting. On our way out, saying our goodbyes to Danielle, Alexis stopped me and told me that my girlfriend Peyton had found something that I needed to see. Peyton showed me her phone, and on it, she had been researching names tied to the history of the former bank. On the small list of bank directors was the name Henry. I got home and passed the information on to my dad, who fairly quickly was able to pull up information on Henry, including an old photograph. And when I compared the photo of Lindsay's sketch of Henry to this photograph, they were eerily similar, including the combed over hair and the scruffy, prominent mustache hanging over his lip. Henry didn't die from a stomach illness, though. He did die, however, of a condition called myocarditis. I'll read you what I found about this condition online. It's often challenging to diagnose and is often misdiagnosed. It can cause symptoms similar to a heart attack, such as chest pain and shortness of breath, and stomach issues. We can't say for certain that this Henry is the Henry that Lindsay and Jeffrey both saw. They both shared with me that the details of his face were never truly clear, just major features like the mustache. But nonetheless, it was another possible validation that we could add to this incredible case. And although both mediums never touched on children, which was unusual with all the reports of Zach, Max, and Faith, it could be that these ages and names were derived from bias by means of ghost hunting tools, techniques used by investigators and the staff. But as always, I was going to follow up to see how the museum staff were doing. And just a few days ago, on October 24th, I hopped on a call with Danielle.
Since we've had the Night Owl podcast team come in, we definitely have had a lot more activity from Henry, and definitely with a lot of the electronics, we've had a lot more messing with electronics. And the interesting thing about Alice is her energy streams a lot stronger, felt her presence more. What she does seem to like is we've talked about her more. We actually had some summer camp kids in here, and they found out about the spirits, and they liked Lindsay had suggested about the clothing. And so every once in a while, we picked out dresses and hung them up or let her kind of choose. We've used some of the rods to let her choose. So I think she feels much more comfortable. And so I think that's what she's letting our presence know. But I haven't seen anything. But I think it's just I haven't been alone to be aware by myself with her. Having Night Owl come in has been very helpful for us because we do have so many spirits. We have so many different personalities and so much history in the building. It's been great to be able to put either new updated names or even energies. I think because we talk about being coworkers, whether we see them or not, I think it has given us a better sense of community with us and with our spirits. And so I think that it feels a lot more settled, and it feels like some of the spirits like Alice are comfortable interacting with a lot of the staff, and a lot more of the staff has felt comfortable with that. So I think it's done a really great thing to kind of make everybody feel comfortable, whether they're living or not, within the museum. So I think it's done a really good service in making us be a little bit more aware, but I think it's been really interesting to learn some of the places and some of the activity, like when we're having electronic issues, if we turn on the silver tone, we might have a little bit of an easier time. Because it might keep some of the spirits in line.
We may not have solved all the paranormal mysteries surrounding the Williamson Museum, but it was incredible to experience all the validations working with Jeffrey, Lindsay, and my team on this case. It's nice to hear that the museum has adopted the names Alice and Henry for these two spirits. And as you heard, it seems the staff are feeling much more comfortable and in communion with their invisible co-workers now. We may never know if there are children spirits haunting this space, but the thing that still haunts me to this day is that we may never find out what secret this female presence is holding on to, even from beyond the grave. Join us on November 27th when we'll have a special campfire episode featuring a terrifying personal ghost story from Lindsay herself. Be sure to subscribe to our newsletter on our website, thenightowlpodcast.com. Follow us on Instagram or Facebook at The Night Owl Podcast. And consider becoming a patron and supporting our show on patreon.com/thenightowlpodcast to stay up to date with our show's news and events. Stay restless out there. I'd like to thank my investigative team, Alexis, Franklin, for going on these crazy adventures with me, and Jeffrey and Lindsay for lending their gifts on this case. Nicholas Fair for his talented musical contributions to this show, my dad Sam for his incredible historical research, Mikey for his assistance editing this particular episode, Sandra for keeping us all on schedule and on budget, my partner Peyton for encouraging me every time the workload for the show weighs heavy on my shoulders and assisting on our investigations with photography, and last but not least, David Dalton of Driftworks Sound for mastering every single episode on the tight turnarounds I give him. Please support their works by visiting our website, thenightowlpodcast.com, and clicking on the About tab. There you can find links to all their individual works and websites. This podcast was mastered by David Dalton of Driftworks Sound. Do you have a song that could use a professional touch to get it across the finish line? Do you wish you could remove the sound of a loud air conditioner or distracting mouth noises from your podcast recording? Whatever your issue, David can repair and enhance your audio and help you achieve rich, full, professional sound at industry standard loudness levels. Quit struggling with audio engineering and get back to creating. To discuss your options, reach out to David at driftworksound.com. That's DRIFT worksound.com, and set your creative self free.